Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of you here this morning. A few announcements as we begin our service. You have your bulletins. You look in the inside there. Just a reminder about the CBC Fellowship event, and that's coming up on September the 23rd. It'd be nice to kind of get an idea how many people will be coming to that. I think maybe the best way to handle it would be to put out a sign-up sheet. Maybe that would be the best way to get an idea of who will be going to that. And so I'll try to do that next week and get that available. And then it would be nice to get a number because we need to RSVP, I think it said, on how many's coming. That way they have an idea. It's a catered meal, so you don't need to bring anything. This is just an event to get to know your other brothers and sisters within the Covenant Brethren. This is the new denomination that we're a part of. And so there's currently 8 churches that are a part of the Covenant Brethren. And it's just nice to get to know people and see those. Maybe some of you will remember. Some Church of the Brethren, of course, moved as well into CBC. But there's some brethren as well in there. And so it's just nice to have an event like that. And I hope that you are able to participate in it. I plan on being there and look forward to that activity there together. Also, work on the Youth Fall Festival is underway. We were able to meet and are looking forward to a nice day here with children on September 30th. We do know that there'll be, two things we can announce to you. There'll be food available, hamburgers and hot dogs that you can come and enjoy. And that's not just for the children, that's for the church. You can come. We'll have the fellowship hall set up and you can get a hot dog and hamburger. And those funds that are raised through the food will go towards the children youth program here at Moscow. Also, there will be apple butter for sale. Now, that's tangent on whether or not we can get a batch made, but we believe we can. And also, they will be making apple butter here that day. And so the children will be making apple butter, and there'll be apple butter available for sale here on that Fall Festival Day. So if you like apple butter and would like to support the youth through purchasing some, we'd be glad for you to come and do that. We'll have other announcements as we begin. Well, Kenny, go ahead. You have something else you want to share?
Yes, there's a sign-up sheet on the door to the kitchen. We're looking for cakes, cookies, and pies, a total of 20 pieces.
Yep.
The sign-up sheet also, we're looking for some jars. Still looking for applesauce. We've had a large donation of applesauce to us. And the activities we have lined up for the kids, y'all come on out because it's a dunking boat. There's a pie paste challenge. And the kids have already nominated a few parents.
And pastor. Yeah. Thank you, Kenny. Again, that sign-up sheet's there on the kitchen door. If you'd like to make contribution to make Fall Festival a success, we sure would appreciate it. We're looking forward to it. I know the kids are, too. They've been talking about it and sharing about it. So it'll be a great fundraiser for the children, and we look forward to that day. Also, notice there on the back, church picnic September 10th. Make sure you tell your friends that come to Moscow about that. As well as tell your friends that don't come to Moscow, invite them. Great opportunity for outside worship fellowship event. That's rain or shine. I don't know if you've seen the bulletin when you come in, but they got pictures of a rainy day there at the picnic, and we still had a great time. So I hope that you can come and be a part of that. Also, another children's event will be on September 17th. It's going to be a pizza party at Gypsy Hill Park, and there'll be some worship time there and some games with the children. Devotion time as well, and then we're going to end the time together with a hike through the Blue Ridge Tunnel. So I hope the kids can participate in that. If you have children that are going to be involved in that, maybe just give Kenny a heads up, or yeah, that'd probably be the best person because he's going to be taking a van which will be transporting children to Gypsy Hill. You can drive too, but that will be available for people. Okay, are there any other announcements as we begin here? Anything else? That, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come again here just to worship and praise you. And Lord, we're just so thankful for your Son, Jesus. We come just worshiping his name and just praising the name of Jesus here together. Lord, we pray for those that can't be with us here this morning. And we just pray that they too are drawn in worship to your Son, even as we are at this moment. We praise you and we praise your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things together. Amen. Stand together for this morning's call to worship. This is coming from inside your bulletin, from portions of John chapter 1. Scripture says, John the Baptist bore witness of Jesus and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Let's turn in our hymnal to page 488. "He Keeps Me Singing," page 488. I think the fourth verse of that hymn certainly spoke to me. It says, though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way, though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. I know many of you have been in prayer for my family, my dad specifically, and I think that fourth verse certainly speaks to our situation here, really for about the last 6 weeks. Really felt pretty bad here this last week. I think 2 days ago, my dad had surgery to try to repair a hole that he had in a right beside a mechanical heart valve in his heart. And unfortunately, we got news that operation was unsuccessful. And boy, that felt pretty low for us. Quite a blow. We were really hoping that they were going to be able to fix that and repair that hole. That seems to be what's causing a lot of his sickness right now. And so they were unable to do that, but we know God is in control. And that's where we keep our faith. We continue to believe God is going to answer our prayers. It just wasn't through that surgery. God has another plan. And so we continue to trust in God's plan. And although our emotions are low right now, we certainly are hoping and praying for the best for Dana. I appreciate, and he does as well, your continued prayers for him, your cards and support and love that you've poured out to him and my mother through this. The plan is next week he will be moved to, or this week he will be moved to UVA. That will either happen tomorrow or Tuesday. We're not exactly sure which yet, but at some point he will be moved to the UVA there in Charlottesville, and he'll have fresh new doctors and new eyes look at his situation, and we're just praying that they're going to come back with answers that are going to fix Dana and fix his problem and get him back well. And I know that's what he wants, that's what we want. And so we're just going to keep praying for that. So I appreciate your prayers for him. And we just continue to lift him up in prayer that God will deliver him through that. So specifically, I think this week, if you would, just take time to lift up Dana in prayer. I really would appreciate that, especially maybe towards the middle of the week when we know more. I'm sure they're going to have some plan of procedure or something for him. And so we just pray that it's the right procedure, it's the right thing that will ultimately get him well. So I appreciate your prayers. And also for us as a family, appreciate all the phone calls and concerns as well to me and Deborah and all those who have reached out. We really appreciate that. Certainly thank you for your concern and your prayers for us during this. Okay, I have also on my prayer list, if you would, put Bambi's sister, who is going to be having surgery on the 31st, Wanda Fry. If you would put her name upon your prayer list, Bambi Dean's sister is going to be having surgery, and Bambi's just asking that you would be in prayer for her sister there on the 31st. Are there other praises or prayer requests that you'd like to share at this time?
Merle Long.
Yes, Merle Long, that's Damon Long's mother. She was in the hospital, although we got to see Gary on one of the, I guess yesterday when we were leaving the hospital, we ran into Gary, Merle's husband, and he said she was being released. So we praise the Lord for that, and that sounds like good news, but we want to continue to be in prayer for her. Merle Long, if you would.
I asked for prayer for Ricky Scholl.
Ricky Scholl.
Okay.
Continue to pray, if you would, for Ricky Scholl. Other prayer requests or praises? Joanne.
I think somebody got on the bridge and he was in an auto accident.
Yes, Joe.
They don't see any other way she made it. But she's at home now.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Some brain damage. But they think out of time and treatment that's going through.
Okay.
But she still needs her prayer. She's very confused.
Yeah.
They really don't know at this point.
Yeah.
She can walk and everything like that.
Right. Took a lot of damage. So we just keep.
The only way she could have made it here is told her husband, you must have a lot of prayers.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the prayers of the church. I know I got that email as well. Prayer request, praying for this young girl. She lived in the Broadway area, I believe, and was in a very serious auto accident, was flown to UV. Yeah, flown to UVA. Joanne's saying she was hit by a tractor and trailer from behind. It's a very serious situation. And we just praise the Lord that she's home. Boy, that's amazing in itself. But now we pray for her recovery and just thank the Lord for His hand upon her, getting her there in a timely manner so that she could receive the help that she needed. So we just praise the Lord for that. Thank you. Thank you, Joanne, for sharing that. That update. Any other prayer request or praise?
Louise and Fred Rhodes.
Okay. Louise.
Louise
and Fred Rhodes. Anyone else? That I'm going to call now on our ushers come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Let's share the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Or these, even Janet reminds us in that hymn, beautiful hymn that she just played, this sweet hour of prayer, Lord, we come to you. Lord, we come before you in prayer. And Lord, you help us through our most difficult moments through prayer. Lord, as we seek you, we seek your will. Lord, we seek your healing. We seek your presence in the most dire and difficult situations in our life, moments of facing loved ones in sickness and even death. And Lord, you show up. You show up in that moment, in that hour of prayer, and you show up beside us in that time where we're going through that trial or struggle. And Lord, you give us help. Lord, that's what we pray continually, Lord. That's what we pray this morning. Lord, any of us here today that is going through something, maybe others know about it, maybe they don't. Maybe it's something that we've been dealing with personally, a struggle, a trial, a mountain, a personal mountain we feel like we're climbing. Lord, maybe people don't know exactly what we feel. Maybe we've not told anyone, but Lord, you know. You know our hearts. You feel as we feel. And Lord, we thank you that you reach down to us in this moment, in this time. And Lord, you lift us up. You pick us up. You dust us off. And Lord, you get us back upon our feet. Lord, we could only do this with your help. And we thank you, Lord, that we have you to depend on in our life. Lord, when we can depend on nothing or no one else, Lord, we can always depend upon you. Lord, you are always there. You are always that source of strength and hope and love and grace and peace in our life. Lord, you are that fountain of life that we can find nowhere else. Lord, we thank you that we can turn to you in our darkest moments. I just pray right now, any person that's going through that sort of situation in their life, Lord, that your Spirit might come upon them afresh even now and let them know, Lord, that you are with them, that they are not alone. And Lord, that you are providing for them through this difficult time. That the footprints we see are your footprints there upon the sand. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We give you glory that in those moments, Lord, you hear and answer our prayer. Lord, we pray for those upon our prayer list here this morning. We lift each one up by name already. Lord, you know those names. You know those situations. And Lord, we just pray right now that your will might be done. Not our will, Lord, but thine will, Lord, is what we seek. And we know, Lord, that your will is good, that your plan is perfect. And Lord, that is what we trust in. Lord, we thank you and offer a blessing upon this offering and offertory that we bring forth this morning. Lord, we just pray you continue to bless those who faithfully give unto you. Not grudgingly, Lord, but they give out of their desire to simply show their love and appreciation for you. Lord, this giving isn't to Moscow. This giving is to you. These gifts are laid down upon your altar before your throne. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless those with a cheerful heart, Lord, that give and give joyfully. Father, we praise you now as we turn to your word. We pray you continue to speak your words of your Son Jesus into our hearts and minds, that the words of truth. Lord, in a world that's filled with the lies of Satan, Lord, we need truth. And I just pray, Lord, that you can continue to speak your truth to us as your church here at Moscow. Bless us, I pray. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. You Sunday school can be dismissed. Thank you, all those that are going down to help with that. Really appreciate all your help. And I know the kids do too. And if you're still here with me, I want you to turn to John chapter 10. We're going on, continuing on this study of what did Jesus say about, and of course we've had various topics, this Sunday is what did Jesus say about Himself? Yes, Jesus did speak about Himself. And we want to know what it is that Jesus had to say about Himself. So let's see here at John chapter 10, verse 31 through 39. It says, "Then the Jews, they took up stones again to stone Him." That is Jesus. "And Jesus answered them, 'Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?' The Jews answered him, saying, 'For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God.' Jesus answered them, 'Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming? Because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand." You know, when I was in school, we would sometimes have conversations about who is the greatest. Who is the greatest? Sometimes we would be talking about most likely sports. But not always, but you have this conversation about who is the greatest. Who is the greatest boxer? Some might say, well, that's Cassius Clay. And some of you know his name later changed to Muhammad Ali. And some might say, well, he's the greatest boxer that ever was. He had all sorts of titles, and he was the heavyweight champion. Boy, if you listen to Muhammad Ali, he would tell you who was the greatest, wouldn't he? If you not familiar with him, listen back to some of the videos of Muhammad Ali. He thought a whole lot of himself, didn't he? I would often say, I'm the greatest that ever was, ever is. I'm the bestest. I'm the greatest there is. And he had a lot of thought of himself. He thought a lot of himself. And he felt that he was the greatest boxer that had ever lived or ever would live. Well, if you grew up in my time, it wasn't Muhammad Ali, but it was a guy named Mike Tyson. And we always thought he was the greatest boxer. And of course, he had a lot of success too. Of course, there's still all these debates happening. Mike Tyson had 19 professional knockouts right there at the beginning. Had 19 consecutive professional knockouts. 12 of them in the first round. That's pretty major boxer. But who's the greatest? Well, I don't know. There's lots of debates about that. And then, of course, there's other sports as well. Who's the greatest stuntsman? Well, Evel Knievel, right? Who's the greatest baseball player? Babe Ruth? Maybe we'd have some debate about that. Who's the greatest track and field star? Maybe some of us would say Carl Lewis or Jesse Owens or Michael Johnson, if you're familiar with him. Or Usain Bolt is a name that comes to mind. Who's the greatest basketball player? Some might say Michael Jordan. Others might say LeBron James. I wouldn't. I'd say Michael Jordan. But that's up for debate as well. If you asked all these people, you know, if you asked them who is the greatest, they would probably claim maybe themselves as being the greatest of all. But even in their claim to greatness, as they do, that all these claims fall short to the claim that Jesus made here. And Jesus makes the claim to be God. That's the claim that he makes. That's the claim that really they're bringing an accusation against him. That Jesus is saying in more than one way that he is God. And notice here in verse 31, they took up stones again. Again they took up stones. This is not the first time that they took up stones against Jesus to kill him. If you look back to John chapter 8, you would find there that was the first time that they took up stones. Jesus was making a statement that he said, before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. To which they replied, you are not even 50 years old. You're not even 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Basically, the claim that Jesus is making, they're saying it's preposterous. How can you say that? You're not even 50 years old, and yet you're saying before Abraham ever existed that you existed? In their mind, that was blaspheme. And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham ever existed, I existed. And then it says they took up stones there in John chapter 8. And they sought to throw them at him. But the Bible says that he hid himself and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. There it is again. This statement that before Abraham ever existed, I existed. How could a man make a claim like that? Unless he was making the claim that he himself was God. Jesus was being stoned for the truth, wasn't he? He was telling the truth that before Abraham existed, before any of the patriarchs existed, for Moses and the law. And Moses came after Abraham, right? After Joshua, after all these magnificent people of the Old Testament, Jesus is saying, before any of those people existed, I existed. How is that possible, they proclaimed. How is that possible that you could exist before Abraham? You're not even 50 years old, and yet you're saying before Abraham was ever a thought, before Abraham was ever spoken to by God, that you're saying that you existed. And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, again, before Abraham existed, I existed. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is divine, isn't he? He's divine. That means, as divine, he has no beginning and no end. Now, some might say, well, hold on, Pastor Darren, because we can look at the Gospels and see the beginning of Jesus. We go through it at Christmas time, don't we? Isn't that the birth of Christ? Yes, it is. We celebrate the birth of Christ. And we celebrate that beginning there. But we recognize as Christians that that wasn't Jesus' true conception. That Jesus existed before that. That was more of an indwelling of Jesus in the body of flesh and blood. But that which was Jesus existed before he was revealed to us, born of flesh and blood. God has no beginning. He has no end. He has always existed as far as we know. And Jesus is saying, as for me, I too have always existed. Before Abraham ever existed, I existed. I am God. And notice there what they said in verse 32. Many good works I have shown, or Jesus said, many good works I have shown you from my Father. Then which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered, saying to him, it's not for good works that we stone you. It's not because you're doing good things that we stone you, but blasphemy. What is blasphemy? It's making yourself equal with God. They seen what he was doing. He was making this comparison that he and the Father are one, that as he was in the Father was in him, and vice versa, that the two were equal. And they looked at it and said, that's blasphemy. You're making yourself God. And Jesus said, that's right. You're correct. I'm making the comparison. I continually make the comparison that me and God are one. And that's why the Bible says that God sent us His Son. Look there at verse 36. Do you say of Him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world? That's different than our life. Our life, our inception was at birth, really. Well, before birth, but you know what I'm saying. That's our inception of life. Jesus's is different. His inception of life is like God. It has always existed. He always was. And God then sent forth His Son into the world. That's the only way we can make that statement. God sent His Son into the world. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time has come, the Bible says, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth then the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Isn't that great? God sent His Son, whom always existed, and dwelt there, and into the body of Christ, in flesh and blood. He sent Him. 1 John 4:9. And this is love, that God was manifested towards, that God was manifested towards us, and that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. So Jesus professes here, and He's accused, that He is God. They're saying that He's being blasphemed. He's blaspheming against God because He's making Himself equal with God. Jesus does not refute this, but He receives it. I want to show you that there's other places in the Scripture where Jesus continues to make this claim. It's not just here. But what did Jesus have to say about Himself? I want you to turn to Mark chapter 2. Go back a little bit. Matthew, Mark, we'll see again. You know, for Jesus to make the claim that He was divine, He had to display the power or the spirit of divineness. I can make all sorts of claims, can't I? But unless I can actually prove it, it's just a bunch of hot air, isn't it? I can tell you that I'm an astronaut, but I have no proof in my life to prove that. I can tell you that, but it's just a bunch of hot air, isn't it? I've not been to space, nor I haven't even been to NASA. I wanted to stop by there when we were in Florida, but I have no proof that I have any experience in being an astronaut. Sometimes my head is in the clouds, but that doesn't make me an astronaut. That doesn't make me an astronaut. Jesus is making the claim that He is God, and therefore He has to have the attributes of God, doesn't He? God has no beginning, and He has no end. That's an attribute of God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That's an attribute of God and only God. Can we say that? No. We can't say that. Who can say that? God can say that. And guess who else can say that? Jesus because he is God. You see, he has to have evidence if he's saying that he is God and equal with God, co-equal with God. He has to have evidence of it. And so here we see Mark chapter 2. I'm going to pick up here at verse 5. Pick up here at verse 5, and we'll probably read this right on down to verse 12. It says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.'" Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "What does this man, or why does this man speak blasphemy like that?" Here we're seeing again that word blasphemies. "Like this, 'Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you also reason about these things in your hearts? Which is it easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your home." Go to your house. And immediately he rose. He took up the bed and he went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Jesus displayed divine power, the divine power to forgive sin and to heal here. Those are the divine powers alone. Notice here the scribes point out, no one can forgive sin but God alone. Why does he speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? And Jesus points out there that he has the power to forgive sin. What's easier to do? For him to say thy sins are forgiven, or to prove that he has the authority and power of God through the healing of this man? What's easier? Is it easier for me to just say that I have the authority and power to forgive sins, or is it more difficult for me to prove it to you by saying to this paralytic man, "Get up, arise, and walk"? Now this man was, remember, he was paralyzed. He had no mobility whatsoever. His muscle had wasted away to where there was no thought that this man could ever walk again. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't. Because all the muscle he needed was gone. He had no hope of ever walking again. And he's saying, "What's easier for me to prove to you? But that you might know that I, the Son of Man, has the power to forgive sins, rise. Stand up. Pick up your bed and go home." Boy. What did they say? "Oh my goodness, we have never seen anything like this." No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. And I don't think they're just talking about the miracle, but that Jesus is taking for himself the title of God. Only God can forgive sins. That's a true statement. Pharisees weren't wrong on that. They weren't lying. There is but one person who can forgive sins. And Jesus says, "I have the authority to forgive sins." In their mind, he was blasphemous, wasn't he? He was blaspheming. He was blaspheming. Which is easier? Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Jesus displayed divine power to forgive sin, to heal. He continued to do that throughout his ministry, didn't he? Multitudes of people came forth and received healing because of Jesus. And even after Jesus, they received healing because of his name. And even today, we receive healing because of the name of Jesus. Okay. I want you to turn to John chapter 13 now. Well, we're getting a little Bible workout, aren't we? John chapter 13. Many of you are familiar with this scripture because for brethren, we know this is the foot washing chapter. And as brethren, we've spent a good deal of time here. John chapter 13. I want you to come all the way down to verse 13. Notice here what he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." He's agreeing. Now, teacher there is an important word, and that's the word Rabboni, or where they get the word rabbi, which teacher. He is a teacher. He was a teacher of many different things. And they would sit. Often a teacher would sit down and teach those around him. And Jesus at times would sit and teach those who were listening. He was a teacher. But notice there the second word that they use. You are a teacher, but you're more than that, aren't you? You call me teacher, but you also call me what? You call me Lord. Now that's a very specific word right there. Kyrios is the word in the Greek. Kyrios. Maybe, there's a place up in Mount Sydney. I don't know if you've seen that little ministry there. I think it's run by Pleasant Valley or Pleasant Hill Church of the Brethren. I can't remember which. But if you look right there, it's the old AMP building, if you're familiar with industry. AMP used to run out of that building, but they've since turned it over into a ministry. And the name on the side of the building is Kyrios. I'm pretty sure is what I've read there. And so there's this word for Lord, Kyrios. And it's a word that is reserved for God. You don't just say to somebody, "You are my Lord," in a sense of relationship between God and you. You know, this word was reserved for God. A word that was reserved for God and God alone. It's the same word that's used in Revelation 1:8. It says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," Revelation 1:8 says. "The beginning and the end, saith the Kyrios," the Lord, "which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." That doesn't seem like a word that you would just use anywhere, would it? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the Kyrios, the Lord God Almighty. This is the word that they're using when they're saying, "We're calling you teacher, and we're calling you Kyrios. We're calling you Lord." We're using a title that is reserved only for God. Revelation 4:8, "And the four beasts," it says, "had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, and they say, Holy, 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 Lord," or Kyrios, "God Almighty, which is and was and is to come." That doesn't seem like a title you would just use for any old person, would it? Revelations 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, Kyrios, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Kyrios, again, this is the word. Verse 13, "You call me teacher, and you call me Kyrios. And you say well, for so I am." Boy, that's pretty straightforward. You could look at that scripture 1,000 times and not realize that's there. Might pass right over it. Jesus is saying, "I'm God. You're giving me a title that is reserved only for God, and so I am." You know, even the "I am" statement is a reference to God. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain and he asked Moses, "Who shall I say that sent me?" And what did God say? "I am. I am that I am. The great I am." What does Jesus say? I am. Isn't that great? Very powerful stuff. I am. I am. Jesus divulges then divine worship. Worship that was only supposed to be intended for God and God alone. He says, I am worthy of that worship. You see the divine attribute? Only God could receive that worship. And He's saying, it's okay. You're worshiping me as a teacher. You're worshiping me as Lord. And it's completely and totally acceptable. You remember when the angel of the Lord came down to the earth and John sees the angel and he bows down and he starts worshiping the angel. And remember what the angel said in Revelation? Don't you worship me. Don't you worship me. I'm not the Lord. I'm not deserving of worship. Don't you mix it up and worship me. You can only worship the true and living God. Now, don't you think Jesus, being a good teacher here, would say if He was not God, don't call me Kyrios if I'm not. Don't do it. Listen, if an angel of the Lord would certainly decry His divinity, if Jesus wasn't divine, so would He. But Jesus is divine. He's the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is equal with God. Okay, last one. Turn to John chapter 10. Just back a little bit here. We're back to where we began. But this time, verses 17 and 18. A little before our scripture. Therefore it says, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. And therefore there was division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why would you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Notice here, Jesus demonstrates the divine power of life. The divine power of life. God is the great life giver. We read back to Genesis 1:1. What is it that we see that God can do? He can create life. He's the giver of life. That's the first definition of God that we receive. And God said, let there be. That's creation. He's giving life. Where there is no life, God creates life. God is the giver of life. Now, if one declares to be God, they too have to have within them the power of life. And what is Jesus saying? The Jews aren't taking my life from me. You know, anti-Semitism for a long time has come in the form that Christians has persecuted the Jews because Christians felt that the Jews were responsible for the death of Jesus. Listen, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. We killed Him. All of us. Our sin. He died for our sin, didn't He? And what does He say? That they don't take my life from me. If Jesus didn't want to die, He would not die. They had no authority over Him. Do you think the Roman emperor had authority over Christ, who created all things? Absolutely not. He had no authority over Him. Pilate had no authority over Christ. He thought he had authority. He had no authority over Jesus. And Jesus says, they don't take my life from me. I'm laying it down willingly. And if I lay it down, He doesn't say that God will raise Him up from the dead. Who does He say? Notice what it says there. It's very specific. It's Himself, He says. I'll raise myself to life. Now, if you being dead are just human, what can you do? Have you ever seen a dead person ride a bicycle? You ever seen a dead person do anything other than lay there dead? Jesus is saying, once my life is taken from me, I will bring myself back, risen again to life. How could he do such a thing? He could do it because he himself was God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Jesus demonstrates the divine power of life that only God had, that he could lay down his life and that he could take it up again. Boy, the Bible makes a pretty hard press to show you that Jesus is God, doesn't it? Jesus himself laid it out quite clear. So much so that those around him that didn't want to believe seen him as being a blasphemer. And they were ready to stone him multiple times because they felt he blasphemed, taking for himself the title of God, equal, co-equal with God. You know, Jesus, this is the first really, maybe the most important here, thing that he says about himself, but I'm going to tell you there's a lot more that the Bible says. I wish we had time. I could just preach for 10 hours on this topic. How much time do we have? No, I'm just... We all want lunch, right? The Bible, Jesus has so much more to say about himself. This is just one thing. This is what Jesus says about himself. He is God, co-equal with God. He's God in the flesh. I tell you, why is that important? Well, back to that first point there. He has power to forgive sin, doesn't he? We're followers of Jesus. He has the power to forgive your sin. I'd say that's pretty important, isn't it? I know it is in my book. Jesus would go on to say, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He would say, come unto me, all ye who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, for my burden is light. Oh, wow. Get in there, friends, and dig about who Jesus said he was, because it's only to your benefit and your blessing. We receive him as Savior and Lord, don't we? As Savior and Lord. He is Kyrios. He is Lord. And because we receive him as Savior and Lord, we receive, friends, all the wonderful things that he is in our life. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Don't live a minute of your life without Jesus. If you are, you're missing out on all the things that he is and wants to be to each of you. He's just not God. He wants to be your God. Notice that. He's just not the creator of the whole world. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for scripture like this that remind us of the Jesus that we serve. He is so wonderful and amazing. Lord, just knowing these things brighten up our outlook on the world around us. We have a Savior who can. We have a Savior that had authority to forgive sin. We have a Savior that, Lord, had power over all creation. Savior, Lord, that very plainly showed us that he is someone that we can trust in. He has the power to forgive sins. And Lord, as we trust in him, Lord, he forgives our sin. Thank you, Father, for this amazing relationship that we have with our personal Savior, our personal friend Jesus. I pray none of us will walk a minute without him by our side. Lord, with that special relationship that we need within our life. Lord, help us, I pray, in building that relationship each and every day. And we praise you. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we'll close now with our closing hymn. And it's page 79. And I'm going to have to confess, I don't think we've ever sang this hymn before. I'm familiar with it, but I keep track of all the hymns we've sang here since I've been here. And we haven't sang this hymn in 12 years. So we'll do our best, and if we fall flat, we'll just end it, right? Okay, let's stand together and sing page 79. Heavenly Father, we do praise the name of Jesus. We lift up His name here this morning. We worship Him as our teacher and as our Lord. He is our Lord. We make Him Lord of our life, Lord of all things. Lord, we praise Him, Lord of all. And we worship Him here as Lord of all. And Lord, You look down upon us as we worship Your Son Jesus, and You are delighted by the worship we bring forth for Your Son, the true and living Son, the only Son of God, who died and rose again for our forgiveness of sin. Lord, we worship and praise Him here this morning. We praise the name of Jesus. It's in His name we pray these things together. Amen.